You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Matthew 28, 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, where an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
So they were the first to see it, these women. The first to see the angels, the first to see the stone rolled away, the first to see the tomb empty, the first to see the risen Jesus who greeted them on the road. So why did Jesus first appear to these women? Why not appear to the disciples? Why not appear first in the very middle of town so everybody would see it, so everybody would believe? So everybody would come to him. Why not appear in the synagogue so that all the leaders who were involved in his crucifixion would realize they had gotten it wrong? You know, a lot of people have suggested a lot of different reasons as to why it was these women that Jesus appeared to first. Maybe it was because Jesus had a special place throughout his ministry for women, treating them in a way different than the culture, exalting them higher than the culture did. Maybe it's because Jesus had a habit of, throughout his ministry, of picking the marginalized, the people on the edges, the people who were the least expected, the outcasts. Those were the ones he reached out to. Those were the ones he revealed himself to. Maybe it was because it just lent credibility to the story. Because everyone would expect it to be to the men. But no, all of the Gospels report the same way, that Jesus first appeared to the women. The suggestions, they go on and on, but I have my own theory that I want to suggest to you this morning. I think that Jesus appeared to the women first because it was these women who had the guts to face the tomb. It was these women who had the guts to face the tomb. They were the ones who were willing to face death. They were the ones willing to confront their fear, and their grief, and their pain, and their anguish. They weren't hiding away in an upper room somewhere. They weren't ignoring the fact that all of their dreams and hopes had just gotten crushed. They weren't pretending that it hadn't happened. They weren't trying to sugarcoat it. They weren't sitting around like helpless victims. They weren't having a pity party. They weren't closed off in their embarrassment and their shame, even though their hopes had been crushed. This Messiah on whom they had pinned all of their dreams had apparently, at least by all of natural appearances, had failed. Their prayers had not been answered. The prayers of the Jewish people that had not been answered. But even deeper than this, they had lost someone they loved, a friend, a mentor, a teacher. A few years ago, I lost a teacher that was particularly close to me from school, and he died suddenly at the age of 40, and he was just snatched away before his time. And I remember those feelings of disorientation and of anger and of questions and disbelief and deep sadness. But these women, they didn't run away from that. They went to the tomb that first Easter morning to stare death in the face. But instead, they found life staring back at them. What tomb are you avoiding this morning? What tomb is there in your life that you would just rather hide away from than confront? What tomb do you have that has just made itself at home in the back corners of your heart and your mind? The tomb that you just can't get away from. We all have them. We all have them. Sure, they have different names and they have different circumstances and they're different details, but they're all there. They're all there. Maybe it's the tomb of death. Maybe it's the tomb of grief and of sadness. The tomb of deep and profound loss. The tomb of fear. The tomb of financial struggles. The tomb of past mistakes and failures. The tomb of shame. The tomb of loneliness. The tomb of past hurt and injury. Maybe it's the tomb of embarrassment, the tomb of illness, the tomb of depression, the tomb of addiction, the tomb of envy, the tomb of anger, the tomb of greed, or of laziness, or of lust, or of betrayal, or of unfaithfulness. What is your tomb this morning? What burdens did you bring in here this morning that you just can't seem to lay down? That even though we're singing these songs of life and we're singing these songs of praise, it's there in the back of your mind and it's there creeping in your heart. What is it, church, that's weighing your soul down? This morning I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to walk right up to that tomb, whatever it is for you this morning. Don't be afraid to confront that thing that you would rather avoid this morning. Don't be afraid of death this morning, church. For you very well may find that there's an angel perched over the door with some good news for you today. Some gospel news for you today. Because on this day, we gather to proclaim the tomb is empty. So you hear me, church? The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty because he has risen. He has risen indeed. Ah, where'd you go? I said he has risen. He has risen indeed. Come on now. He has risen. He has risen indeed. And that, brothers and sisters, changes everything. That's what we celebrate today. That, Ecclesia, is the good news. The good news that was the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray together. God, we are gathered in this place to rejoice and to celebrate the good news. That regardless of what our tomb is, regardless of the thing that we want to hide away from, regardless of the thing that we would rather avoid, that's weighing our souls down, on this day we find that the tomb is empty, that it has no power over us, that death has been defeated, that Jesus has been victorious, that the cross was on Friday, but today is Sunday. Today is life. Today is joy. Today is celebration. So, Lord, we rejoice and we sing and we celebrate and we dance and we party because you have given us life and life abundant. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his death on our behalf, for his forgiveness. But on this day, we thank you for his life. May his resurrection be born in us. May you resurrect this church today and every person within these walls. May they be resurrected and experience new life. May they be born again in you and be prepared and equipped to face exactly what you have prepared for them as they step out. We step out in joy and celebration. We step out in the name of Christ, in whose name we also pray. Amen. Before Jesus left this earth, he gathered with his disciples and he said, I want to give you something to remember me by, so that every time when you gather together, every time that you break this bread together, every time that you drink this cup together, you are proclaiming the hope that we have as followers of Christ. You're proclaiming the hope that the church of God proclaims to the world, the message that we have. And Tammy, if you can pop that slide up, this is the message in summary. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So let us proclaim that together. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So as you come this morning, you're coming to receive the bread of life. Not the bread of death. The bread of life that nourishes us. The bread of heaven that gives us the strength for this day and for each day forward. As you come this morning, you come to receive not just a cup of juice, but the cup of salvation. The cup of Christ. The cup of the new covenant. The cup of life. We come to celebrate it together as a family around this table. Therefore, this morning, we're going to gather and come around this table. We're going to remember our Christ. We are going to celebrate life together. We're going to get a little taste this morning of that heavenly banquet that is to come. We're going to come get this party started right now on this day. This is a celebration of life. And you all have a seat at the table, at God's table. Let's pray together. God, we pray that you will take this bread, that you will take this cup, that you will bless it. The bread that is the fruit of your field, of the grain that you have prepared, that you caused to grow, that you have a hand in harvesting, for you are the God of the harvest. We give to you this cup, the fruit of the vine that you planted when it was a seed, that you caused to grow, that you created the fruit. And now as we take it as a symbol of life, symbol of resurrection, of Jesus' life that he offers to us, of Jesus' forgiveness. So, Father, we pray that you would bless it. And as we come to this table, may we come in joy. May we come in thanksgiving. May we come in celebration. May we get this party started. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ask Jerry to come help me and invite you to come. Not a time of somberness, not a time of sadness, but a time of joy, a time of celebration. Won't you come?